Well, good morning and welcome to all of you here in person and all of you watching at home online. It's great to be worshipping with you this morning, and a particular welcome to it. There's a few faces here who I haven't seen for a while, and you haven't been here for a while. It's great to have you here. Particular welcome to you. Just in case anyone doesn't know who I am, my name's Dave Bruce. I'm the rector of St Andrew's and All Saints Churches. And today we're going to be continuing our series looking at living the way of Jesus as we work through Mark's Gospel. And Diana Hunt is going to be preaching later to us. A few notices to begin with. This is the season of Lent. And I encourage you to come and connect with us on... I've corrected the date on this now. It's been wrong for a couple of weeks. Finally realised it was wrong. Saturday the 19th, not 16th of March. At St Andrew's, where Paul Hunt is going to lead us in a quiet morning from 9.30 to 1. If you want to sign up, do, but if you want to just turn up on the day, that is fine. We'll serve coffee, but not lunch on that day. But a special time to just come be still with God in this Lent season. Something which isn't being still, but is being with God, is the Forefront Theatre Company production of The Fisherman's Tale, the musical. This is a brilliant performance by our local Christian theatre company, which is full of sea shanties, and it just basically tells the story of Jesus from the perspective of the disciples. It's absolutely fantastic. They went to the Edinburgh Fringe and got 4 stars with it. So do come along, perhaps particularly to the 7.30 performance, because we're trying to encourage children and families to come to the 3.30 performance. You can buy a ticket at the back, which saves you the booking fee, which you will have to pay if you buy a ticket online. So I'm going to advertise it to wider Malvern next week. So actually, if you want to guarantee your ticket, get your ticket today or online later on this week, and that will guarantee that. But do come along, it'll be brilliant. Also something coming up, Ignite is, we have an Ignite, which is sort of Malvern Churches Together, where we get a guest, significant guest speaker, national speaker in, and our next one of those is Wednesday the 30th of March at 7.30 at Great Malvern Priory, where Gavin Calver, who's the CEO of the Evangelical Alliance, is going to be speaking. I've been away this week to the New Wine Leaders Conference up in Harrogate, and his wife was speaking, who is absolutely superb. So this is going to be definitely worth coming to. It's free entry, but we're inviting people to make a donation to cover the costs. But book that in your diary. And he's particularly going to be speaking, I think, on just, you know, where the national church is as we hopefully are coming out of the pandemic now and what God's been doing. And he's really in touch with, you know, the church in all over the country. And I think he'll bring some really insightful things to us there. So do... put that in your diary and do come along. It's getting closer. We did say farewell to Peter at PCC this week. It was his last All Saints PCC. The goodbyes have started. The lasts have started. But March the 27th will be our proper farewell here up at All Saints, where we're going to have the APCM, Peter's going to preach, and we're going to have a really lovely meal afterwards. We do need people to sign up to help with the catering, details are at the back, or see patients. Patients also would love someone to help us set up on the Friday for it. And if you can't make March the 27th, and we're aware some people can't, because it's Mothering Sunday, then please come to St Andrew's on April the 3rd, and there may be some St Andrew's people who can't come on April the 3rd who come up and join us on March the 27th, where we're having a hog roast and an adult bouncy castle. I can see many of you being really attracted to that. But details again on the mailing, but please do sign up. It would help us with numbers. And if you want to give to a present and haven't done already, then please do it online or on the giving plates there. If you are new to us, and if you're watching online for the first time and haven't connected up in person with us, then on our website we have this special button on our homepage, which is an online form which allows you to connect up with us and to give us your email, particularly so that you can receive the weekly email mailing. So do that if you'd like to hear more about what happens. We don't have a paper notice sheet anymore. We have an electronic mailing, and that's the way to get on that. I think that's all of the notices. We're going to be thinking about revealing identity, about who is Jesus this morning. And so I'd love us to just start by this opening affirmation, which actually takes words from Philippians 2, that lovely passage of one of the first hymns, Christian hymns, in Philippians 2, and speaks out our affirmation of who Jesus is. So why don't you stand? And let's say these words together. We come together to celebrate Jesus Christ, who through, although he was in the form of God, did not consider being equal with God something to exploit. Instead, he emptied himself completely, not only taking on human form, but the form of a slave. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even a humiliating death by torture on a cross of wood. So God raised him up with great honor and gave him a name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven and on earth and even under the earth might bow down and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is our God, the God we have come to worship. So let's worship in song by singing Christ triumphant, ever reigning. And Lord, we declare that yours is the glory and the crown, the high renown, the eternal name. We thank you that actually that death is through the cross defeated, that we sinners are justified, that you came in your majesty and that you came as a servant to reveal God to us and to call us to follow you. And as we come to worship this morning, may we be encountering you afresh today. May you transform us. May our prayers and our worship be honouring and bringing glory to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And do sit or kneel as we come at this time of Lent to confess before God. And let's just take a moment to think back over the last week. And what is it that we need to confess and say sorry to before God this morning? Just talk to God about anything you need to right now. So wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive us our sins, open our eyes to God's truth, strengthen us to do God's will, and give us the joy of his kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And during this Lent season, we're encouraging just all of us to take this simple daily prayer that we've put together, and if you haven't picked up one of these, then copies are at the back, and take one and just continue to pray each day for God's transformation, particularly about our one thing that we're encouraging people to just discern before God. What's the one thing this Lent that you want God to transform you in? And just we pray that as we do this each day and take that time in this season to meet with God, that we will encounter God more deeply and that he will transform us. So I encourage you, if you haven't started with that, then, you know, it's not too late to start. We're still in week one of Lent. Do that. Just want to have I was going to make this a testimony time, but actually it may end up just being some news that I've found in the last few days from Ukraine to share with you. There's so much, isn't there, that has been on social media, on the news that we've seen, and our hearts are breaking at the pictures that we see. And God calls us to pray and God calls us to give, I think. They're two things that we can do. And I just wanted to give you some news of, you know, what is happening out in Ukraine, people I've heard from. But we're going to start with just a little film strip of evidently the psalm that Ukrainians are holding onto more than ever, anything else, is Psalm 31. And this is some of the Ukrainians saying that Psalm 31, some from their bunkers, saying different lines of it. And the words, the sound isn't brilliant, but but look at the words. You won't be able to understand the sound anyway, because it's all in Ukrainian. But the words in English are underneath. And just as we hear the words of these psalm, look at them as we see these pictures, let's lead us into prayer for these people today.
Для диригента хору Псалом Давидів. На тебе надіюся, Господи, хай не буду повік засоромлений. Визволь мене в своїй правді.
Нахили своє ухо до мене, скоро мене порятуй. Стань для мене могутньою скелею, дом твердий, щоб спасти мене.
Ти будеш тривати мене і тримати мене, ти витяж посадки мене, що на мене таємно поставили, то ти сила моя, руку твою долучаю я, духа свободи, ти мене визволиш, Господи, Боже правди.
Я зненавидів усіх, хто шанує повбанить владних. Я ж не буду знову звати. Я буду радіти та тішитись у твоїй милості, що побачив ти гори мені, що приглянувся ти до скорботи моєї душі.
І мене не віддав в руку ворога, на місці розлоги поставив ти ноги мої.
Помилуй мене, Господи, бо тісно мені, від горя вже виснажилось у моє, душа моя і нутро моє.
Бо скінчилось життя моє в смутку, а роки мої у квилінні.
Моя сила спіткнулася через мій гріх, і виснажились мої кості.
Я в усіх ворогів своїх став посміховищем, надто сусідом своїм.
І страхіттям знайомим моїм, хто бачить на дворі мене, утікають від мене. Я забутий у серці, немов той небіжник. Став я, немов та розбита посудина.
Бо чую багато шептання, страхання навколо, як змовляються разом на мене.
Вони замишляють забрати мою душу.
А я покладаю надію на тебе, о Господи. Я кажу, ти мій Бог.
В твою руку кладу свою долю.
Ти ж визволь мене від руки ворогів моїх і моїх переслідників.
Засяй світлом свого обличчя на твого раба. Спаси мене у своєму милосерді. Господи, не дай мені осоромитись, адже я кличу до тебе. Нехай осоромляться нечестиві і змовкнуть у шоолі.
Нехай заніміють обманливі уста, які зухвало зі зневагою наговорюють на праведника. Яка ж велика твоя доброта, яку ти приготував для тих, що тебе шанують та на тебе покладаються, і виявляєш її перед усіма людськими нащадками.
Ти їх у заслоні обличчя свого заховаєш від людських тенет. Ти їх від лихих язиків у наметі сховаєш.
Благословений Господь, що вчинив мені милість чудову свою в оборонному місці.
А я говорив у своїм побентеженні. Я відрізаний сперед очей твоїх. Та дійсно, ти вислухав голос благання мого, коли я до тебе взивав.
Любіть Господа усі святі Його. Стереже Господь вірний, а гордому злишком відплачує. Будьте сильні, і хай буде міцне ваше серце. Усі, хто надію покладає на Господа. Псалом 31.
That lovely verse 21 is so powerful. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. You know, we continue to pray for these people. And just one lovely thing that Sophie Wharton, one of our young people, just has said, you know, we need to pray as a church. And she met with Peter on Friday. And we're going to be having the chance to pray for 24 hours this Friday to Saturday evening. So it's from Friday at 6 o'clock until Saturday, 6 o'clock in the evening till Saturday at 6 o'clock in the evening. And the way it's going to work is there are going to be three times of corporate prayer. Friday 6 till 7, Saturday morning 9 till 10, and then Saturday evening 6 till 7. There'll be times of corporate prayer at St Andrew's. And at the other times, we're inviting people just to sign up for a half-hour slot or an hour slot or more if you want, and commit to praying at home for those. And we'll try and get some resources out to you. I'll send an early mailing out this week when I've got the full details. I've only just picked them up. But there are sign-up sheets at the back. And if you would like to be part of that, to commit to saying, you know, this is my half-hour slot that I'm going to commit to pray, it would be a really good thing to, if we could actually cover the whole of that 24 hours, wouldn't it? And if you're an early riser or if you don't sleep very well, then please do take those middle night slots, which are always the worst. Otherwise, the vicar will have to take them. But just to encourage you, I want to just read a message that I had forwarded this week that's been going around too. This is from Igor, who's actually a pastor connected with Josiah Ventures and Terry English in Lviv. And I'll come on to Terry English in a moment. And he writes this. He says, please tell your people, because of their prayers, God really fights our battles. The rockets disappear in the air without reaching our homes, and no one knows where they did go. Enemy tanks run out of fuel. Russian troops get lost and ask our locals for food and for directions. That is definitely God, because we're dealing with the second strongest army in the world. You know, I believe those things are happening because of prayer. I believe there's confusion in the Russian army. I believe that that whole line of 40 kilometres, 60 kilometres of what it is, of trucks are stuck, partly because people are praying. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, our prayers make a difference. So Terry English, some of you will know we had a weekend at home back in October 2019, and Terry came and spoke at that. Terry works for Josiah Ventures, who are particularly an organisation working for young people in Eastern Europe. And he's one of our mission partners. That's St Andrews, is he up here as well? I can't remember. He will soon be, anyway, when we join the mission partners. I got this email from him yesterday. I'm just going to read a bit out to you. He said, Ukraine, yes, Josiah Ventures is very active. We work alongside almost 100 Ukrainian churches, so right now we are coordinating a massive effort to get aid in and people out. We are mostly using Lviv and Trnoprel as transport hubs, which are being run by local churches there. We then bring people to one of our two training centres in Poland and Czech Republic for a couple of days to find themselves before sending them on to wherever they're trying to go. In the first wave, most people have people they were heading to. Or now we're starting to find longer-term accommodation for those who have nowhere else to go. Our local church is also very active. Right now, Hanka, his wife, is on the phone with another person arranging how to set up a longer-term care structure in Ostrava. Kids will need schools. The mothers want to be useful to work. We're also working out how to make our churches multilingual, into Russian of all languages. Mostly older, younger Ukrainians don't speak English so well. Today, one of our partner churches asked if I would be willing to head into Ukraine on Tuesday for up to a week. I would be away from the war zone, initially driving food and medicine in, then shuttling refugees from Trnoprel to the border for as many days as I feel able. My burning desire is to help any way I can. We're also arranging to host one or two families in our home. So it's likely I will go unless Josiah Ventures asks me to focus on something else this week. So he's planning to go out on Tuesday to Ukraine for a week to just help with the relief efforts, not into the what is the war zone at the moment, but particularly where just a whole load of refugees are coming through. So do pray in your prayers for Terry and anyone who wants to follow him on Facebook. He's sending regular updates with really moving videos and news of what's going on in Ukraine. The church Facebook page has now linked to him, and you can friend him with that and get those on yours too. But do hold him particularly in your prayers. We're going to trying to work out at the moment how we do a collection for that, and we'll give you details this week. Particularly, you know, Terry said, actually, if you send some money through to me, that will fund my trip. And actually, I can then give that away, money away to people that I meet this week. So if anyone wants to give any donations today, just put it in an envelope marked to Ukraine or give it straight to Paul. And then we'll just make that available next week, and we'll show you how you can give online. But I think it'll be really good to give to, you know, our link who's directly there, working with the churches out there in the Ukraine, and pray for him, and we'll keep you updated on that. I think we're going to pray in our prayers for that, so I won't pray now, but I just wanted to update you on that news. So in response, you know, I'd like us to worship and actually declare, because I think when we worship too, we are doing spiritual battle in the heavenly realms. And what we're about to sing is, you know, King of Kings, Majesty, look down to the fourth line, strong deliverer. We are praying that God would be, singing that God would be the deliverer for those Ukrainian people. So let's stand and let's offer our worship to the God who promises to deliver.
Thank you. This morning, all our prayers are focused on Ukraine. So let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We pray for the people of Ukraine at this awful time, for those suffering or afraid, that you will be close to them and protect them. We pray that the terrible suffering they are enduring will cease, and that the wanton destruction of people and their homes will end. We pray especially for the church in Ukraine, for the leaders of the church as it becomes a focus for providing help for those in need and a refuge for those in despair. Give those leaders the energy and strength to meet the countless demands being placed on them, as they continue to serve you and show love to their fellows in the most testing of circumstances. And we pray for the people in countries neighbouring Ukraine, especially Poland, where refugees are being welcomed without hesitation, and human kindness and compassion have truly come to the fore. We pray for those Ukrainians who have fled their country, often leaving family members behind, often with young families, and give thanks to those so willing to provide shelter and relief while they seek to rebuild their lives in safety. And we pray particularly for Terry English, his family, and Josiah Ventures as they seek to help those in Ukraine. And we pray for the people of Russia. The war is not of their making, and as far as we know, they're being shielded from the truth of the inhuman actions of their government. They are also victims of the war, and we ask that the response of the world is focused on those who need to change their ways, and not the peace-loving, hospitable people of Russia. And we pray for Vladimir Putin, his close advisers and generals. May their hard hearts be softened. May the horror of their actions dawn on them and cause them to repent. Help them to turn away from their slavery to an ideology, to show humanity and compassion for those they govern and their neighbours. And we pray for other world leaders as they work out how best to confront evil. Give them wisdom, compassion, and strength to take the right actions at the right time and avoid miscalculating and fanning the flames of war. And we ask you to bless those working behind the scenes and away from the headlines, searching for a peace to come to Ukraine and restore a sense of security to Europe. And we pray for ourselves as we react to the sickening scenes we see on our TVs. We may feel helpless and useless. It seems there's nothing that we can do to end the suffering. Help us not to become angry and lash out. Help us to remain close to you and to walk in your ways, so that peace and justice become a reality for the people of Ukraine and for all the world. Help us to give time to be with you, to walk alongside or behind you, and not ahead of you, ploughing our own paths. And drawing on Jeff's sermon of a few weeks ago, help us to choose faith, not fear. To trust that you can achieve things we think are impossible, that little things are happening to confound the Russian war plans. Help us to keep praying and believe that you will conquer evil. And drawing these prayers together, I'll finish with the prayer offered by our archbishops for Ukraine. God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war or peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decisions. And above all, we pray for your precious children at risk and in fear, that you would hold and protect them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
One set of bands of marriage to read to. So I publish the bands of marriage between James Alexander Charles Toghill of this parish and Louise Helen Gould of this parish. This is for the first time of asking. If anyone knows any reason why they may not be married, you are to declare it. And let's pray for James and Louise, shall we? Lord, the source of all true love, we pray for this couple. Grant to them joy of heart, seriousness of mind, and reverence of spirit, that as they enter into the oneness of marriage, they may be strengthened and guided by you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jean's going to come and read to us. If you've got Bibles, do grab one and follow as you go.
The reading is from Mark 8, verses 27 to 38. Jesus and his disciples went on to the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get thee behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. This is the word of the Lord.
I got it right on that slide. Diana, let's pray.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you just for your scriptures that speak and reveal you and your identity to us. And may we now have ears to hear, to see you more clearly, and to have our lives transformed by you. Just anoint Diana now as she speaks in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
So there are two ways of looking at things. You can look at it from God's point of view or from our point of view. So who is Jesus? Who Jesus is perhaps one of the most important questions there is. Who is Jesus from God's point of view, our point of view? Who are we? Because who Jesus is changes who we are. Long time ago, before I was married, I lived in Mayfair, in a rotten flat, but a very nice area. And I talked to the doorman next door, and he said, "Oh, we've got three princesses living here." And I was terribly impressed. I felt as though my social kudos went up because I live next to them. And I went in to my flat and I said to my flatmate, "Guess what? We live next to three princesses." And she said, "So what? I'm daughter of a king." And you see, I was looking at it from man's point of view. She was looking at it from God's point of view. So who is Jesus? I think it's perhaps the most important question for us. And anyway, Jesus puts it to Peter. Who do people say I am? What's man's point of view? Well, man's point of view, says Peter, is that you're a prophet, maybe John the Baptist. And Jesus said, "And who do you say I am?" And Peter comes out with this, "You are the Christ." And Jesus says, "Yes, you've seen it from God's point of view. That's the real truth." So, who's the Christ? Well, you know, it's the one who was going to come through the whole of the Old Testament, the anointed one, the one who was going to bring forgiveness of sins, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the prisoner free, actually also possibly to bring in a kingdom. There were glimmers of political overtones. You remember the wise men came and they said, "Where is he born king of the Jews?" And Herod said, "Ooh, king. No, thank you." And Peter, I think, thought, "Oh, he is the Christ. Maybe, maybe part of the agenda is to get rid of the Romans." And Jesus said to Peter, "Say nothing, because my kingdom is not of this world." People, we misunderstand it. He is a king, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. But Peter had understood half of it. He's the one who is to come. Then Jesus goes on to explain God's point of view. "Now listen," he says, "the Son of Man, the anointed one, the Christ, is going to be mocked, rejected, crucified, die, and will rise." And Peter says, no, don't do that. You know, you've just fed 4,000. You've just healed a blind man. It doesn't say we're on a roll. We're going places. Don't die. And Jesus says, you've seen it. He doesn't say from man's point of view. He says, get behind me, Satan. This, of course, was the temptation in the wilderness. Avoid the cross. Why is the cross so important? So why was it that the Christ had to die? Well, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, that changes everything. You can see that it changes the lives of those people in bunkers. What changes it? The hope of the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the power of the living God. Also, you know, if God had stayed in heaven, how would he understand? How would he understand what it's like to go through what they're going through? How would he understand our world? How would he understand betrayal and death and blood and pain? How could he? But he's gone through that so he can walk alongside us. And yet, the cross is both, it's both the symbol of death. You have a Jesus on a cross, a crucifix. It's also the symbol of freedom and resurrection. How do you hold those together? Difficult. But we're dealing with God who can change things. So, Peter had got half of it right. Jesus had seen it God's way. Actually, John the Baptist had seen it God's way. John the Baptist didn't look at Jesus from a human point of view, who could have been described as a slightly scruffy person coming for baptism. He looked at Jesus and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." What an extraordinary statement. No wonder he was a prophet. He'd seen right through, he'd seen what's the Lamb of God? The sacrifice God provides for the sin of the world. So John knew there had to be death, and yet there would be resurrection. It's interesting, St. Peter eventually gets his act together. Eventually, you know, he falls asleep when he should be awake. He denies that he knows Jesus. Yet later, he's filled with the Spirit. And he comes out in 1 Peter 3:18. He's understood God's point of view. And he summarizes the gospel in one verse. It's very neat. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Isn't that? That's just such a concise summary. Peter's saying it has to be that way. And the epistles explain a lot of why Jesus died. Jesus explains some of it at the Last Supper. He says, "This is my cup, which is shed, it's part of the new covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This Lamb of God who's come is bringing you forgiveness and, of course, freedom." So who is Jesus? Well, in Ephesians, this is the explanation of the resurrection. It says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us." That's so good. I thought I'd read it in the message as well because it makes it slightly easier. Redemption means freedom. If you buy a slave, you pay for them and you set them free. That's to be redeemed. Freedom is different from forgiveness. Yes. So this is Ephesians 1:7 in the message. "Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free." We've got just two commands, only two. The Old Testament's full of laws that we don't have to keep. Jesus gave us two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Both of them impossible. Nobody keeps them. We're heading in that direction? Yes. All actions heading in that direction. You look at what that fellow was saying from Ukraine. Heading towards loving. But none of us get it right. And because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, that changes our identity. You can look at it from man's point of view, which I suppose half of Britain does, but to look at Jesus from God's point of view changes everything. I'm a prayer minister and pray with others, with Christian prayer ministries. And I prayed with a lady who was in a muddle, and she was crying. And her tears literally actually came down her face and fell off her chin. And she said, I don't deserve to be forgiven. I was saying to her, receive the forgiveness of God. I don't deserve to be forgiven. And I said, no, you don't. And she stopped crying like a tap. And she said to me, I didn't think you'd say that. So I said, well, you don't deserve to be forgiven. I don't deserve to be forgiven. Mother Teresa doesn't deserve to be forgiven. At which point she relaxed slightly. It's all unearned gift because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Christ who died. So, because he has made, I think it's in the old prayer book, it says something like this, one full, perfect, sufficient sacrifice. I love that. For the sin of the whole world, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, we can have a new identity. So who can we be? Well, from man's point of view, we're just us. Or we're who we, what we do, what we achieve, what we've got. And in that reading it said, and what does it profit you if you get the whole world and lose your soul? It's the relationship with Jesus that gives you your real identity. So from Jesus' point of view, it says, to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. You know, God, in my book, is very unfussy. He'll have absolutely anybody who comes to him, which is, I suppose, the love that we don't... It's much broader than we can dream of. So we are loved, forgiven, freed, children of God, courtesy of God, for no good reason except the love of God. So how do we see our identity? Well, my friend who I live with, she said, I'm a child of the King. But most of us find it more difficult to say positives about ourselves than negatives. But there is a place before God where you are known as you are, which is, in my book, a very scary business. Known as you are and accepted. It doesn't happen anywhere else in this world. It perhaps does for a mother and a little baby. When they get to teenagers, I don't think it applies. But, you know, the to be known, to be loved, to be accepted. Why don't we live this? This is our identity because of Jesus. Why don't we live it? Well, I heard of some fabulous 6th century painting, and the experts only found it was there by taking off about a whole lot of layers on top, and then they found this painting. So man has concocted another way. If you don't know what God wants, you do it by being good, by working hard. I mean, that's fine. But that doesn't take you to God. Saw a bumper sticker which said, good girls go to heaven, bad girls go to Brighton. I think it's wrong on both counts, because how are you going to get to heaven? It's not by what you do. It's knowing who you are. So I've got one or two things which show that these are our obstacles, the sort of thing that might stop us receiving who we really are. This is a vest, and it represents, if you knew what I was like underneath, would you like me? It represents low self-esteem. No, I'm not much good. Really? That's not what Jesus says. But it's the sort of thing we can carry. Let's have a look what else there is. Oh, well, this represents failure. Failure and condemnation. You see, it's a nasty thing, this. Now, I can walk about with this, but if I walk about, it comes too. That's not what Jesus says. But do you know, I've known people describe themselves that way. This is jelly, which represents fear. You have to use a bit of imagination. Jelly shakes. Fear, you shake. That's your link. And we're all afraid at times. And Jesus is saying, stronger than the fear. You know, he even said to the disciples, very near when he died, he said, in the world you'll have tribulation, my golly. Then he says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And to me, there is the two, you know, in the world you'll have tribulation, and you see it luridly every day on the screens. But somehow, the resurrection of Jesus changes things. If we were to look at it from God's point of view, don't ask me how, but it changes things. It's changed our lives. It's changing their lives. Oh, this is a big snake. Represents the lies of the evil one. I don't know. There can be a voice that says, you'd be better off if you weren't here. All the negatives that are spoken to us. I think we all hear, I assume we all hear little voices that say negative things to you, or is it just me? But could be. And the negatives come from parents, the world, and sometimes this one. And this represents any area you are not free and you don't receive who God says you are. It is extraordinary to be a loved, forgiven child of God for no good reason. But actually, this is part of, is because of the identity of Jesus and our identity. So what do you do with this lot? Well, there's a wonderful place. I'll tell you what you do with it. You take the whole lot. And that, the cross, is the place of transformation. That's where everything changes. That's where death changed into resurrection. That's where sin changed into forgiveness. That's where we can put our junk. I prayed with a lady, and then I'll finish, who, she was very responsible. She did a very high-powered job, but she felt that unless she did something really responsible, she was no use at all. Her identity was all tied up with her responsibility. And we said to her, well, bring your sense of responsibility to Jesus. And she prayed and she put it there at the cross. And then she said, you know, I feel naked. So we said, well, ask Jesus who you are. Which point, as a prayer minister, you pray very hard. Anyway, we had a long pause. And she had her eyes shut. And then she began to smile. And then she began to laugh. And after a bit, she stopped. So I said, well, what did God show you? And she said, it was as though I came to Jesus and he wrapped me around in one of those very exotic sort of dressing gown things that are warm, thick, cuddly and wonderful. She said, and on the back, written in diamonds, in big letters, was the word daughter. And I thought, yeah, you've seen it from God's point of view. That's who you are. You have an essential identity that nothing can be taken away from you. And when we take, oh yes, so if you think about it, you'll find things that hinder your walk with saying who I really am, my identity before God. So a suggestion. I've got two little stools with two lots of paper. And if you wanted to, when you come for communion, you could take a piece of paper, put it from there, and then put it on this one or on that one. And then Dave will take them and later put them on the table. It's a symbolic way of saying, Lord, I let something go. We don't have to write anything, of course, because God knows what we're bringing. That's a way of letting things go. The other is, when you take communion, it goes right down to the middle of you. Okay, well, let it go into your very spirit. Let it go into the depths of you. The bits of you that say, well, I'm not sure about me, really. Let Jesus go right into that part of you with his resurrection, his death and resurrection, this transforming power. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? I think that's all I'll say. I'll pray, though. Lord, it's an amazing thing, your identity. And our identity is amazing. Help us to live it. Help us to grow in what you want us to be, how you really see us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
The cross changes everything. The resurrection changes everything. And so before we go into communion, I'd like us to dwell on the cross. Just to, again, just seek to understand the mystery of, you know, what happens at the cross and what Jesus has done for us. And as we do that, we just allow God to meet us and hear his words of, you are a son, a daughter of me. That you don't have to stay where you are with all these chains and all the fear and all the shame. But because of the cross, because of my death, you can be free. You can know life in its fullness. You can be forgiven. And then the last verse of what we're going to sing, you know, just finishes with those challenging words, which picks up just some of the verses in this passage of love. So amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. When we really grasp what God has done for us, what Jesus did for us on that cross, you know, the only response is to say, here I am. I let go of my life to follow your life for me. So let's stand and let's sing this slowly and meaningfully and allow the words of this familiar song just so reveal to us again who Jesus really is and what his death has done for you and for me. I stand.
Thank you.
So as we come to receive God's grace in the bread and the wine, we first come to be at peace with each other. And so let us share the peace with each other. We just acknowledge that Jesus said, "My peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And also with you." And let's share, however it's appropriate, the peace with each other right now. And so we come and gather here around the Lord's table. And we say, "The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's always right to give you thanks, God, our Father, holy and strong, King forever. You made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus, Saviour, Mary's child. He suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose in glory from the dead. And you send your Spirit to bring new life to the world and fill us with power from on high. And so we join the angels to celebrate and say, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." And Father, on the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with his friends and he took the bread and he thanked you. He broke it and gave it to them saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, Jesus took the cup of wine. He thanked you and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, the new promise of God's love. Do this to remember me." Jesus Christ has died. Jesus Christ has died. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ will come again. Jesus Christ will come again. And so, Father, as we remember his death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit that the bread and wine we bring before you may be for us Christ's body and his blood. Pour your Spirit on us that we may love one another as we work for the peace of the earth and wait for Jesus to come in glory. For honour and praise belong to you, Father, with Jesus, your Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Do sit or kneel as we say the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. We're going to take communion at the rail again for anyone who is able to, and if you're not able, then please stay in your seats and we'll bring it round to you afterwards. And just I want to just reinforce Diana's invitation that if you want to pick up on your way just that blank piece of paper, you know what in effect is written on it. Maybe it is that you struggle with fear and want God to replace it with faith. Maybe it's the shame that you still carry that God wants to replace with joy and freedom. Maybe it's the lies that actually you constantly are battling with from the enemy, and God wants to replace that with his truth of how he sees you. Maybe it's those chains which hold you, and God today wants to break them as you offer them to him. So just drop your bits of paper on the other plates and I'll just bring them to bless them at the end. But also during communion, once you've received communion, if you would like prayer ministry, someone to pray with you, then Diana and others will be down by the pulpit. And I really encourage you, if one of those really resonated with you, to go and get prayed for today, because Jesus can break through and just give you new life, can break this stuff away, and can bring you transformation and joy today. And I sense that he really wants to do that in some of us this morning. And just for others who just perhaps those things don't resonate, just as you receive the bread and wine, just again dwell on what Jesus did on the cross for you. Receive his grace, be thankful, and rejoice again today. If someone could come and help me distribute communion, that would be great. So we say together, we thank you for this meal and for welcoming us to your table. We remember that we are your children and that you have called us to share your love with everyone we meet. Help us to receive your life, walk in your strength, and follow your ways every moment of our lives. Now come, all you who are loved by God. Hear his call to serve others as he has served you. Hear his invitation to be part of his plan to rescue the world. Join the community of those who walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We're going to do that by singing our final song, which is "All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live." Let's stand. And Lord Jesus, we hand over to you these white bits of paper that only we know what they represent, but you do too. And as we surrender them, hand them over to you, we pray that those things would be gone, done with, transformed by you. That actually you would allow each one of us to walk away from here with more freedom than we came in here when we first arrived. We thank you that you are the God who through the cross transforms and brings new life. And we thank you too for these gifts of money to your service. We bless them to you now. Use them for growing your kingdom in this place, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Do stay for coffee at the end of the service. And also, just if you would like someone to pray with you, maybe about stuff from what Diana was saying, or maybe about something completely different, or if you just want God to bless you this morning, you know, actually you don't have to come with anything, just say, I want God to bless me. Just, it's a great thing to, you're gonna, if we get a queue of 20 people, that's fine, we'll just work the way through them. But do come. And don't go away from here without just letting God do what he wants to do with you. And there's one thing I just really just sense, you know, that thing about lies. You know, so many of us have had lies spoken over us that we hold on to, things from the past, where actually just we struggle to shake that off, and that affects how we see ourselves and how we live. Just if that particularly is you, then just come and get Diana and others to pray those lies, to break the power of those lies, so that you walk away in freedom today. So a final blessing for us all. The Father, whose glory fills the heavens, cleanse you by his holiness and send you to proclaim his words. Amen. The Son, who has ascended to the heights, pour upon you the riches of his grace. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, equip you and strengthen you in your ministry. Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of us and all those we hold in our hearts in Ukraine this day, now and forevermore. Amen.